It's, by the way, 7 minutes past 5 o'clock on this Monday evening. Usually we have our Careers Corner at about 5:30, but we're going to Liam Horan a little earlier than usual this evening because what we want to discuss is going to take some time and we didn't want to be up against the news bulletin at 6:15. Good evening to you, Liam.
Good evening, Eden.
And once again, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Now, we're going to discuss just one issue this week, but as I was saying there in the intro, it's going to take a while because we're talking here about the 10 questions all job seekers should ask themselves. Question number one.
Well, number one is have you a good quality CV that summarizes and highlights your skills in an effective way? And by that, I mean that it's very easy to have a CV that lists what you have done, what jobs you have done, but does it list your achievements? Does it actually outline the values, the skills, the benefits you'll bring to the employer? And that's a very different kind of a document. So in our experience, most people have a CV that is chronologically sound or is factually sound, but has no sales points, no USP, to use the language of business, no unique sales point that gets the employer interested in them. So that's the first question every job seeker should ask themselves. What is the state of my CV? Does it summarise my skills and highlight them in an effective way? And there are loads of resources online that people can read about to do this. And in fact, if we give an email address at the end of this section as well, we can send out lots of resources as well. And ensure that your CV has a standard to catch attention of the employer.
When you hear CV or the word CV or the letter CV, you automatically think this is going to set out my name, my address, where I live, my education. But in fact, it's very, very important in terms of selling yourself, not just in terms of perhaps formal education, but in having done so many other things with your life that may impress a prospective employer.
Absolutely. And people who are out of school for a while and out of education for a while realize that there's more to life than just formal education. And that a CV should be a very judicious mix of what you have done. Really, you should look upon your CV as a sales document as opposed to just a historical record. And, you know, the very name is being derived from the story of your life could lead you to get very factual rather than very salesy, if you know what I mean. So you've got to look at your career to date, your working career, your personal interests, your hobbies, your community involvement, anywhere you can look to that will bring forth evidence that will help you to convince the employer you're somebody they should talk to. And as people get more experienced in life, they understand that more instinctively. They understand that it's not just the formal stuff that you put in there. It's not just playing by the rules almost. It's actually knowing what to curate from your life to date and put that in your CV. As I said, there are lots of online resources to help you to do that, to show you how to do it effectively. But the first resolution a job seeker should make is to try and do it.
Now, question number two.
Do you tweak and amend your CV every single time you send it out so that it speaks to the employer in question? And by this I mean every employer has needs that they're looking to fulfill in the job, in the recruitment process. And the needs of every employer are different. So what employer A wants is not the same as what employer B wants. Sometimes the differences are huge, sometimes they're more nuanced. But you must, before you send out your CV, do your best to assess the needs of that employer and to tweak your CV to meet those needs. And in practical terms, that might mean, for example, if you're a school teacher and school A has a big music tradition, and you come from a music background, you've been involved in musicals and drama and theatre, you would promote that information more prominently in your CV for that school than you might for a different school which hasn't got such a music tradition. And when you look at the employers you're looking at, you'll find the nuances that difference from place to place, and your CV should address that, should address those nuances.
Number three,
is your cover letter neat? Is it professional? Does it get to the point quickly? Does it not ask the, this is three or four questions together about a cover letter. Does it not ask the employer to read too much, which is a cardinal sin? And also, do you tweak your cover letter every time as well? People can get very tortured about cover letters. They think that they should write the 5,000 words they didn't put in their CV in the cover letter. But there's a law of diminishing return which says that the more you ask the employer to read beyond a certain point, the less likely they are A, to read it, and B, to retain it. So is your cover letter short enough that it doesn't overburden the employer, long enough to give a little bit more flavour of you to supplement your CV? Is it professional, and is it personalised to that job or to that employer every single time? Failure to do that, I think, increases your chances of being put on the scrap heap on the day that the employer is going through the CV. So it's a very important document. You need to get it right. Again, lots of online resources that can help you in that regard.
Question number 4.
Have you contacted recruitment agencies in your region? And while that might seem like a given, our experience is that very few job seekers have done the full run around recruitment agencies. And if we take Castlebar as our base here, there's a recruitment agency in Castlebar, very well known one, Sylvester Jennings runs Archon Recruitment. There are other recruiters as well in the west of Ireland, particularly in Sligo and in Galway. Colin McNicholas are in both cities, and there are lots of them in Galway City in particular, and you really should be getting your list of recruiters together, making contact with recruiters there, developing relationships, finding out what kind of jobs they recruit for, finding out who are the people that recruit in your sector, and making sure to get in touch with them. And there's a whole world of how you interact with recruiters. And you need to learn about that as well and build up your knowledge, particularly even how one recruiter differs to another recruiter. You've got to find out those nuances as well. And what's probably forming here for people listening is that job seeking is a job in itself. It's not something you can do in a kind of a token way. You've got to get very committed, get in very deep, and recruitment agencies is one of those areas where you've got to get in deep, have your full list, make your contacts, and get your CV out there and get to meet as many relevant recruiters as you can.
When we talk about a recruitment agency, Liam, are they there for the purpose of headhunting talent, or can people make contact with them in an effort to find out what's happening locally?
Absolutely, yes, they can. Recruiters, their success is based on how many people they place in jobs. Their commission structures are heavily biased in favour of getting people into jobs. So they need to know who's around the place. And in some cases, they will headhunt, but in other cases, they'll rely on people contacting them. There are a number of ways of contacting recruiters. You can do it on spec, just, you know, getting your CV in there, hopefully meeting with the recruiters as well. Or you can watch which particular jobs they're advertising. So the recruiter who this week is advertising a job as a head chef somewhere might be in 2 weeks' time advertising a job for an accountant. You've got to try and see who in the recruitment company tends to have responsibility for your area. Within recruitment companies, people have specialities based on sectors. You need to start finding out who are the people in those recruitment companies that tend to recruit in my sector and develop relations with them. So, you know, they wouldn't, particularly in the modern day environment, in most jobs they tend not to headhunt like they would have one time, although in specialist areas they are scouring LinkedIn and trying to find the right people. But in most cases they would expect people to be in touch with them on a regular basis and keep them up to date with where they are and what they can bring to employers.
Question number 5.
Have you set up job alerts on job sites? And by this I mean the likes of irishjobs.ie and all sorts of specialist sites as well. There are specialist sites for retail people, for retail sales people, for example, sales people. Have you gone onto those sites and entered your details and created alerts for you so that every time a job that suits you comes up in your geographical area, you get an email from the job site? It's a very good way of keeping on top of what's happening in your area without having to scour the sites every single day. So an investment of time in the job sites early on in your job searching sort of process will stand to you for a long time. Again, in our experience, few enough people do this, and I would say people miss the opportunity to get certain jobs because of that. So set up your job alerts on job sites. Don't be too broad in your search because you'll be inundated with alerts. And by alerts, I mean email alerts. They come into your inbox as often as you specify. It can be once a week, it can be once a day, or it can be every time a job in your chosen sector goes up on the site. You can specify that as you create your account on there. But you certainly should be getting job alerts into your inbox on a regular basis.
Listening to you speak, Liam, it seems to me that people need to be very proactive.
Hugely so. And for a number of reasons, people tend not to be. I'd say, one, a lot of people don't know how it works, really, and they tend to stick to very narrow job-searching approaches. There's a very interesting book that people could read if they're interested in this area called What Colour Is My Parachute? It's something of a Bible for people job-seeking and career-changing, and they identify, I think it's either 18 or 19 different ways of searching for jobs, but yet most people stick to a very narrow two or three ways. So yes, you do need to be very proactive. As I said earlier, getting a job is a job. You know, treat it like a project. Almost in some ways, treat it like you're searching for somebody else. That can make it easier for people. So, you know, make your plan, decide the things you're going to do every day to propel your job search. But, yeah, particularly right now, you've got to be doing a lot. But the upside is that if you do start making waves and making noise and checking out what's happening, things do start to happen as well, too, by and large.
Number six.
Are you a member of a jobs club? The jobs club operates on the Weight Watchers model, which is peer support or pressure, depending how you look at it. But it forces you to turn up, ideally once a week, I would say, to a group of like-minded people who are in the same situation as you, as in there are people who want to propel their job search, who are currently looking for work. They meet, they talk about what they have done since last week. They hold each other to account, so to speak, as well, by saying, you know, you said you get your CV rearranged because we've said that last week your CV wasn't exactly right. Did you do that at home? Or did you go and meet that person you said you'd go and meet? Or did you join that, did you go to that networking meeting that you said you'd go to? So, and week on week, then people, you know, kind of keep a track of each other. It's a very benign environment. It needn't be at all aggressive or anything like that. But it's a very good way of supporting each other during a job searching time. And they're very successful worldwide. They're deemed to be a hugely successful way of keeping your job search current and getting jobs, because as we know only too well around here, particularly in the west of Ireland, word of mouth and referrals are huge. This is where people hear about, how people hear about things. And in a jobs club, you would hear about what's going on in your sector.
I have to say, I never came across jobs club before. Is it a relatively new concept?
Not relatively new this part of the world, but long established, particularly in America, where a lot of the career expertise or all of that comes from. FOSS and other agencies have been investing in jobs clubs for quite a while in Ireland now, for a number of years. There's one in Ballinrobe that meets, I think, every Monday morning, and their tagline is, we're the club that's actively trying to lose members. And there are other ones as well that meet. Sometimes there are jobs clubs formed by people within one sector, but I think they work better when people from different sectors meet, because there's less internal competition then, and they're more inclined to tell each other about what might happen and what might go on. I know there's one being formed in Claremorris at the moment as well, too. I think there's something in Castlebar. I'm not quite sure about that. Northwest Mayo Leader Company, they oversee some jobs clubs right around Mayo, in fact. So their office is in Foxford, and that's somewhere where people could inquire if they wanted to find out about jobs clubs in their area.
Number seven.
Have you a network of friends, colleagues, acquaintances you can tap into for personal support? And by this I mean, have you identified your network? Do you know what your network consists of, who the people in your network are? These could be former colleagues, family, people you play sport with, people you engage in community involvement, in community activities with. Do you know who they are? Do they know you're looking for work? Can they put a word in an ear for you? Can they take a look at your CV? Can they give you a mock interview? Can they give you some advice on how you're going about job searching? I think that when you're job searching, which can be a very vulnerable time for people, you need to know who your network actually is, and, you know, keep in touch with them, and ask them for help. And then people, by and large, will do something for you. They find it very hard to say no, in my experience, if you ask them to do something, as long as you don't ask them to do too much. So, based on the skills those people may have, for example, it could be a very valuable exercise for somebody to do a full look over your CV, and that's something somebody in your network could do, or sit you down for a mock interview. That kind of thing is something a network could do, apart from tipping you off about possible jobs or giving you pointers about things they've heard around the place. Quite close to a jobs club, except in this case, you're the only person in the network who's looking for work, perhaps, or, you know, it's your own special self-created network, Whereas in a jobs club, everybody around the room is in the same boat. That can be powerful as well, but they're just slightly different.
Number eight.
Have you written out a personal inventory of your strengths, skills, attributes? Do you actually know your transferable skills? Do you know what skills you have that will work for in the next job you're going for? Again, in my experience, people tend to be poorly developed in this area. They get a narrow view of their skills. They see their skills and their attributes and their competencies being very closely related to the last job they did or the job they tended to do all their lives so far. In a current era of change where people are changing from sector to sector, you've got to understand what your skills are. So, for example, you could have communication skills that you showed in your job as a salesperson, but that might equally be a very powerful weapon in your arsenal in the next job you're going to, which might be something in childcare, for example, or whatever. You know, so you've got to understand how your skills transfer, and if you know, people tend not to know that. And again, this is where your friends in your jobs club or in your personal network might help you. I have seen groups of people motivate each other purely by telling each other their strengths. And in a well facilitated group, this will come up very naturally, very informally, not in a forced, contrived kind of workshop exercise kind of way. But people will spot your strengths or your skills maybe quicker than you spot your own. And I would encourage people to get to know their strengths, however they do that, and then use those strengths to propel them to the next job.
Is there a tendency for people to perhaps underestimate certain characteristics and qualities and skills that they have? You know, it's very easy to say, I've got a PhD because I can see it in front of me, but other people might be very slow to acknowledge that they're, you know, you mentioned good communicator, or that they have a certain empathy or something like that, that they mightn't be capable of putting their finger on, but which may be very important in terms of career prospects.
Yeah, I would agree. In my experience, I would say that's very, very much the case. People, it may be something to do with our education system, which is sort of, as the Americans say, sage on the stage rather than guide on the side, this kind of schoolroom learning environment from our first day in school. People tend to see their skills purely by the definition you said, which is be a PhD or degree or master's or certification or some sort like that. So they tend to see their defined skills or defined professions quite obviously. They couldn't fail to see it, but they don't necessarily see how that transfers somewhere else. And I think that's a real issue for people. And that can really frustrate people because they have a sense of their own ability, but they can't put words on it sometimes. And there's a category of people called the generalist, and we'll talk about the generalist again some other evening, who tends to have maybe no qualification per se, but as a whole amalgamation of really transferable skills. But at a time when they hit a career crossroads and they can't fall back on being a carpenter or a nurse, they don't always know how to repackage their skills for the next, you know, turning the wheel, so to speak. And that's when you have to work with them and, you know, get them to understand what their skills are, get them to identify them and how they might transfer to a different area. And this is where friends can help you as well. So I would say it's a good exercise to say to friends sometimes, not to say, what kind of work should I do next or what kind of work should I go for, but actually name three strengths I have, to go to that level, and then the work that might suit you will almost suggest itself. If you start to identify your strengths, the work will almost suggest itself. But most people cut out that middle part of identifying their strengths and go to the next job only to discover 6 months later, do you know what, my strengths don't really suit this job at all. So get to thine own self be true kind of thing. Get to know your strengths whichever way you do it.
Number nine?
It's a continuation of the last one, actually. I kind of segued off into it there. Get people to write their strengths, skills and attributes for you, which is a development of number eight. Get people to do it for you. It can be quite powerful. Ask them to write it down. You'll be surprised. There are things in sports psychology I read about players in a room. I'm not sure which team it was. Everybody in the group had to write out one good thing that everybody else in the group brought to the team. And these were put together and handed to the players the morning of an All-Ireland final or the final test or whatever. And it gave players a real sense of, God, I never realised I was valued in the group for my ability to, you know, bring clarity of thought or my ability to pull the game out of the fire when it's needed, or my ability to this, that, or the other. So third-party identification and endorsement is very important, and I think you get that from other people.
And number 10, finally.
Finally, are you currently undertaking training or courses to improve your skills? And if not, why not? It's at a time of unemployment, for a lot of reasons, I believe it's crucial to be undergoing training and courses. One, for your own mental health. Two, for your own self-esteem. Three, for the very benefit of the skills, obviously. Whatever you learn will stand to you hopefully somewhere down the line. And four, on your CV or in interviews, it is a much better thing to be able to say that during that downtime in my career, I did three or four courses as outlined there on my CV, than to say I did nothing. And you can combine learning with a lot of what we talked about earlier on, almost a jobs club type environment, personal network type environment. These things can blend into each other. But definitely during a time of unemployment, as in during a time of employment as well, I would say, developing your skills on an ongoing basis is absolutely crucial.
We have covered much over the course of the last 25 minutes or thereabouts, Liam. Can people access this information either through your website or otherwise?
Yeah, we have put together quite a lot of resources that covers, I think, nearly everything we've talked about there. If not, I will amend it. People email us at getthatjob@cnewatcareers.com, and just put in the subject line CRCFM job searching. I will assemble some more. Anything that I touched on there that's not in what we've already assembled, I will put it in there and make that available to people as well. And we have some very good inventories in terms of identifying your skills and that kind of thing that people can access online. They're all of which is free of charge, I hasten to add. And I think they'll find it useful. When people start talking and thinking about themselves in a career sense, they generally start to improve, if you know what I mean. It's the failure to even have that kind of personal development period that really bothers people, I think. Once they start, things start to happen.
And just give us that, get that job at sleenewacareers.com, I think is what it is. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And in the subject.
CRCFM, job searching in the subject line.
Very good. Liam, as always, thank you very much indeed for that. We certainly needed the 25 minutes, as I suggested to you earlier. So thank you very much indeed for giving us your time.
Thank you very much, Ed.
And we'll talk to you again a little later next Monday evening at 5:30. Good evening to you.